I'm Paul. I'm an alcoholic. I had my last drink November the 16th, 1976, in Williston, Vermont, on a Tuesday night. And on a Wednesday morning, I went to the place where Alcoholics Anonymous meetings were being held. Because for the previous 6 months, at the insistence of my good wife, I went to an AA meeting in that building every Saturday night. Now, I used to be a little chunkier than I am, and she was just a midget. And it's damn humiliating for 250 pounds of solid dynamite to be led around by a little woman. If you're a Boston Irish Catholic like me, you understand this. If you're an Alcoholics Anonymous, you know it's pride. And it says pride leads the path of some of our character defects. But I went because my alcoholism had created enough fears that I was terrified of this little woman. She was Lebanese, by the way. Lorraine Bobbitt was Lebanese, too. I think they had some genetic predispositions. But it is amazing to come home at 4 o'clock in the morning and try to sneak my 250 pounds into the bed. That little Cape Cod house that means an upstairs and downstairs. And I didn't have a key to my house, so it's another thing. Straight from my macho. And many times I would sleep in my car in front of the house. Now in Vermont, it's usually 40 below zero. Now as long as you've got a snowmobile suit in the car, you can do this. Why would I do a thing like that? Because I was terrified. And we talked about fear and alcohol, something like that. Terrified that another woman catches me at what I was up to. So we had this deal, if I did go in the house, that I'd ring the bell and she'd come down the stairs and let me in and go right into the bathroom. And as soon as she did that, I went right into the room and I turned the clock back a couple of hours. She'd come back out of the bathroom, look at the clock, run, go upstairs. What a wonderful life I had! I was the only guy in my neighborhood that was gone 3 nights a week every week. All the rest of the poor stooges had to be home with her. That's wonderful, huh? Why did you marry this girl, Paul? And she told me I was coming. Gee whiz. What kind of a man am I? Now, I'm raised by Irish immigrants. So I'm first generation. Back where I come from, children are seen and not heard. Say the magic word, you get down the cell and get your ass kicked. And they do it properly. Now you go up in the mountain and you do the same thing. They do it somewhere. I remember when I was 14, I decided I was going to visit one of my friends at 7 o'clock at night. And I was told I couldn't go. So I took my clothes and I threw them out the window. And snuck down the stairs and off I went. Now, in November and December back there, it's pretty cold. Well, I came back from that visit about 9 o'clock that night, and I was told flat out, you don't live here no more. You don't live here no more. Hey, I'm 14 years old. Where am I going to go? This is an interesting experience for me, because it explains my whole life. I've had no rights. Whatever they told me to do, I did, or get killed. So I guess when I was in the third grade, I took a job selling newspapers. I ended up doing that 7 days a week until I got in the eighth grade. And then I did that plus I worked in a drugstore. Then I went to church every morning, 6 months of the year at 7 o'clock, whether I wanted to or not. I went to parochial schools for 16 years, and in parochial schools, there's no recess, there's no lunch hours, there's a number of courses every day, and you're going to do them. And if you get a note to take home, you know that that's worth 2 weeks. One, you bring the note home, the other one, when they come back from the teacher. Because you never write.
out of high school, and the only good thing about the Catholic high school was all men. I didn't have women beat me up anymore.
Oh, thank
God. And this was the same deal. Work, go to church, go to school. Never had a study hall. And the women were on the other side of the campus, the barbed wire, and that was cool. And then I go off to college. Men's college up in Vermont. And I thought I was going to be Steinberg. He was a great student. And I saw him one day holding his skis with the sweat coming off his brow. And all the women adored him. I said, I'm going to ski like him. I'm going to be Steinberg. Well, my skiing career was interrupted by the fact that I never took a lesson. And so I was lucky to be alive. But what I'm talking about is in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says that alcoholics are people who are in full flight from reality. What have you heard me say tonight that was in here now? I was always living in tomorrow. I'm going to graduate from that school. I'm going to get a wife. I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to get a job. And then you're going to be sorry you messed with me. I'm talking about resentment. And the program of Alcoholics Anonymous talks about resentment being the number one offender. And it kills more people than anything else. And on November 17, 1976, when I sat down in that room with those people, they said to me, do you have any resentment, Paul?
No.
Well, my wife. But other than that, I'm just the love of a little fuzzball. I truly believe this. And I still know. Although there are a number of people who tell me different, but what do they know? So in those days, I worked for a pharmaceutical manufacturer, one of the biggest, best-known manufacturers in the country. And back in Vermont, this is a hell of a job. Vermont is a lot like Tulare County, no little bots. So I got this job. And I'm running around talking to all these surgeons, psychiatrists, dermatologists, gynecologists, and I got a fight with their nurses. Which is bad. And I'm scared to death of them. But our company also makes Maybelline and Coppertone and some other stuff. And I got a bag full of the stuff. So we bribe them. You know, there's nothing like being honest. There's nothing like feeling good about yourself. There's nothing like that sense of accomplishment, of self-worth. Because I have a spiritual malady that it talks about in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have no self-worth. None. And yet, because I have this degree, because I'm an officer and a gentleman in the United States Air Force, because I'm married to a scholarship girl, et cetera, and so forth, and I built this house, and I got this job, and I drive this nice company car, and I wear a three-piece suit, I'm okay. And everywhere I go, I let them know that I'm here. Because everywhere I go, I run into people who have hurt my feelings. How come you're so fat? How come you don't have any money? How come? And I didn't have any answers for that how come. I wasn't Paul. I was who I wanted you to think I was. So I traveled. I traveled three nights a week. Sometimes the three nights that I was out was only 30 miles from my house. But the beauty of it was I was with people I didn't know, and I love people I don't know. If I get drunk tonight, I'm going to Gorman. You know, I ain't going to come here. Because when I get to Gorman, I'm probably going to be a doctor. I have enough. CS to be that. Or I might be a jet pilot because I spent some time in the backseat of military jets, didn't much like it, but I can tell some really great stories. I could be anything I want to be, and you all have to love me, right? Disillusionment. The curse of the alcoholic. Disillusionment. So when I walked into a bar, they said, here comes Paul, the man of a few million words. Sit down. And I thought, wow, I've arrived. Wow. I'm respected. I'm loved. The deal was that most of the people in that crowd were mummified from being there so long that they would like to see a new body come in every so often. Full flight from reality. I'm in full flight from reality. Therefore, I'm not a drunk. Therefore, when November 17, 1976 came around, and they said things to me, it's the first drink to get the drunk call. What college did you guys go to? Where's your company car? How come you're not wearing a suit and tie? How come you don't have an expensive car for a pretty wife and an Irish setter in a beautiful home and three kids? And you're going to tell me? I'm here. I'm the second coming, babe. You know, I lived in a town called Underhill, Vermont. You know, the captain of that pirate ship a couple of weeks ago, he's from Underhill. Not from Underhill, right? I'm out of Gordon if I ever get there. And now I'll tell you the real truth about Underhill. Because that's what I do. Full play from reality. So when I'm drinking, I'm okay. I'm okay, because I only drink beer. I don't drink in the morning. I just drink beer, and I'm okay. And I'm a fun guy. Just a little pleasure. And I always need to be out of town so I can lie, because I'm a magnificent liar. And I was pleased with kindness my ability to lie. I could tell 10 people a different version of the same story. And remember those stories, and the minute I heard them back, I knew who the rest of them was. Now, what was happening as I was drinking this non-problem beer, whatever was cheap, that was non-problem beer, and they have a lot of that stuff back here. While I was drinking this non-problem beer, I was a teacher. And I always was thinking the memory of love and companionship, so I only sat in these places where people didn't have my education, didn't have my company back, didn't have my supervisor. Why do we talk about always thinking love and companionship? Because my spiritual disease, my self-esteem, and talks about this in AA, my ambition, my sex life, and my pocketbook were always in danger. God gave me all four of these instincts to be used for good. And I perverted every one of them because I lived in fear. Fear of the unknown. If I gave it to your God, and you were sitting there, and you were dirty and filthy and full of fleas, and I had my fine dozen on, and there's some honey walked in, and she sat with you. Woo! This is not without love at all. And now the game is on. And I love games. I love games. Because I'm quick. I have to be quick to survive. Because I'm doing stuff and I'm telling stories that I have to try to be killed. I'm selling my drugs to drugstores because some of those drugs are so good that nobody else has it. And my wife, the little lad, won't give me any money to drink with. And if she didn't give me any money, I drink it. So the only way I could raise money was to sell my drugs to the drugstores. I didn't tell them kids. And when I got out of the car and I went and opened the trunk and there's a zillion little boxes in there, all different colors. And you kids be walking by, and I look at it, slam the trunk down, drive to another spot. But I'm a good guy. But full flight from reality is where I am, and it's okay for me to do this, because I don't. The terror of the Eastern world has seen out. example. Now let us talk about a universally recognized list of faults. Universally recognized. What does that mean? It means everybody's right. And what are they? Lax, L-A-P-F-C. Lost enterprise, lost envy. And they don't know. Wow, I learned these in 16 years of education. I learned these all the time. But they didn't apply to me. Well, I don't know what. But other than that, they didn't apply to me.
I wasn't anyway.
I was a level below the top ball.
I certainly wasn't lusty. I didn't learn how to have women. I certainly wasn't greedy. I certainly wasn't
any of these things. And when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, November 17, 1976, on that Wednesday, I made a beginning. A beginning at keeping it simple, even though I had no idea what keeping it simple is. And this is the beauty of Alcoholics Anonymous for me. I don't have to always know what I'm doing, because I've been doing it. But the nice part of it is one morning I had a spiritual awakening when everybody said, oh, that's what I've been doing. Yeah, I almost got drunk on numerous occasions because I heard, oh my God, the inventory, it's so horrible.
Oh yeah, it's horrible. It's like calculus, don't avoid that.
Well, what I didn't know that was happening on November 17, 1976 was that I sat down with a group of people who asked me to sit down. And they said to me something like, do you go to an AA meeting in Burlington this evening? And I said, no. And they said, why? I said, because my car stops at all bars. Obviously, that's the first step, huh? I admitted that the bar was over. I thought, what am I doing? My car. And then now, up to this time, the denial was stuck that I stopped at these bars to see if they were tiny things. I mean, the last place I had a drink was Joe Perry's. And the waitress was really cool, a poochie boy. And she went around singing, there's no Perry's in Joe Perry's. I mean, that was the mantra. And I smiled, whoa! Only I wasn't getting it. Was always going celibate and everybody else. I had a wife that used to sing, hooray, hooray for the 8th of May. Out goes Spruance starts today. Well, where was I? I was drunk. And I didn't want to be drunk. I just wanted to get involved in the extracurricular, see buddies. So, you know, I couldn't even commit adultery right. And now I brag about it. Because of that, I have no news.
I guess I've been restored to sanity, huh?
But what I'm saying is that God will do for me what I cannot do for myself. He, for whatever reason, put me where I needed to be when the opportunity was present and I had enough. Make a suggestion. So, after those people asked me if I would ride the bus, and I said no, I got to thinking. You know, when I was a little younger, we used to go skating, and the bus was a ripping, snorting place to be, especially in the back. And I thought, this is a program to cover me home. Maybe the back of the bus must be more interesting. So I rode the bus. Spiritual giant, am I not? Who's my higher power? Doesn't matter, because it worked. But that's the day I was restored to sanity. And step three was one, step three. And then step three, having more kind of church than most priests, a representative of the Vatican here in Australia, I had to turn my life to will over high power. Excuse me. I'm up at the altar every Sunday with my boys. I'm taking up the collection. I'm reading from the pulpit. I'm walking in church with my mother.
that wine. And furthermore, because I'm a spiritual giant, I saw some ladies in that place that were a hell of a lot better than the children of Joe Bells. So I was inspired. So I did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And it was a little girl, that's cute. She had 5 years of sobriety, she owned a huge advertising company, and she thought I was cute. And she said to me, I went for lots of drinks. And she hold my hand. Oh, God, I lied. But I had a problem. I met it. And in her mind, who? That's a little place, taking place. You do not want to. That's the time to do it. And besides, she went first. 2 5 years old, she had an advertising company, she was pretty. I had all this whole life of reality going on. So now my job was to somehow seduce her without her knowing what I was doing. And at the same time, not let my wife find out about a couple of your assistants. I'm a game up player. And so the time went by, 2.5 years in Vermont before I got sick in Michigan. And I was out with Murray one night after the park, we got up at the meeting. And Snow would be helping us with us back there. And she said, you went on that car? I said, oh, we're up and going home. Now Snow, I'm up and going. She said, you sure you're going up?
Yeah, I'm going.
Here I am, resentful as hell, that I'm everybody else in AA is here to shoot and shut me. It's offered to me on a silver platter. And I don't even know it. Do I need to be restored to sanity? So then I get traveling on this smoking army to California. Now I don't know if it's Larry Garvey or Larry Garvey. I think it's the Beach Boys, Free Love, and oh la la. Boy. And I'm a wonderful speaker. You can all tell, like this weight loss in action. Wonderful personality. Cute. And wow, it's so cool. What a shock.
And that's, I'm going to talk about acceptance. Acceptance ain't you can't change. My higher power was no longer located underneath the kilt of Mary Sue. It worked. So what I had to do was I had to improve my definition. And she said to me when I was leaving, she said, well, when you get to Visalia, you find a group and you get a sponsor because you're such a fan of women. God, I can't believe anybody taught me that way. Especially, of course, you must have been PO because I was so stupid. You're a problem. Here I come to my center and I run into a group of alcoholics and they tell me to sit down with a man and shut up. Because we have a bunch of other superstars here. I didn't know alcoholics like me were egomaniacs with an inferiority complex. I was just the second coming. I'm going to talk about full flight from reality as a recovering person and how these steps, little by little, improve my spiritual progress so I can stand up here tonight and look everyone in the eye pretty much. I never was able to do that in my life. Because I was always watching. And the beauty of it, the inventory of alcohol tonight is such a terrible thing. It's holding all these things about the horrible little fuzz ball I am. So why was I resentful that everybody else was eating and cheating and I wasn't? Because I have a little thing called contrarian. So if you say no, I do what I'm you, then I'm going to have to kill you. See, it says in that book, they're not about sex. Many of us need to know the law. I wonder why. And then, when they said I do, I didn't. Because after all, I'm going to teach you a lesson, eh? because I'm a controlled drinker. So, it says in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, in the doctor's opinion, an alcoholic, a restless, irritable, and discontent, until they can one more time experience ease and comfort that comes with the first couple of drinks. Drinks that they see other people taking and contributing.
Because an enemy comes in there, and I just have to be old Paul.
because I am a relic. And yet I'm in good health. I'm doing the most unbelievable screwball way of life that I ever breathed. I hated people who lived the life I led. I hated people that had the toys I have. I hated people that... I just hated them. And now I've done them all. And then you're filling the hole in the soul. So it says, I've had it this way, and I've had it that way, and the hole in the soul is still there. And the only way to fill the hole in the soul in AA is to work with another alcoholic who will ask. When anyone anywhere reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA always to be there. And for that, I am responsible. That's what it says. So I have never said no to anyone in Alcoholics Anonymous who's helped every behalf of the drunk. Said no to people that want to sleep with me, borrow money, live in my house, drive in my car. But so some of those people, when I work with them, I work with them in the quiet because I have them in the room. And then other people that I work with are living in the press because they help my interests. I'm a spiritual guy. That's a point to hear. We are not saints. Saint boy, after 16 years of Holy Mother of the Church education and purity, and thou shalt not, I have finally arrived in a place where a member of the clergy said, "Paul, your holy name is God. You're okay." That's what serenity is. It says, God grant us the serenity. What's serenity? Peace. To be me. Didn't happen until I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. And the progress that I made on a daily basis was little by little by little. I achieved what I have that I'm talking about to you today, tonight. And I'd like to be all done. I'd like to get my diploma, my degree, my cap and gown, and go to Washington, D.C. I'd love to be able to do that because I'm a private. Well, it doesn't happen. It says in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous that we are here to play the role that he assigns us.
Oh, that means abandonment, obscurity.
Just as we play that role, as we believe he would have us, as he allow us to match calamity with serenity. And prior to this, all I knew was calamity. I got a call today. I'm going through some emotional stuff in my life. I'm always going through some emotional stuff. From a friend of New Zealand. Now I have five children, none of whom talk to me. Two of them are alcoholics. It was my daughter. She lived here in Visalia, and she's been involved in Italy and Visalia and Boston and Vermont. And I hadn't heard from her for a couple of years. And she's the only one that talks to me. Dad! We love Jill. It's homework. There was a change in the way she said, "Dad, I'm sober." What a thrill. What a thrill. Because now I've got to change my story. Somebody loves me. I've one beer that likes me. Is the glass half empty? Is the glass half full? So I said to her, "Where's Ivy here?" That's your one. God, as far as I'm concerned, took me out of her mind, put me in this garden. And I asked the question when I grew down in the chair of 11 years old. I never, ever dreamed I was going to get out of her mind any other way but be first. And here I am. And I didn't do it pretty. I fought and screamed. 3 days after I got my shattered view, I knew the heart was safe. But I was here to play the role that he assigned me.
but now I'm Nazi Paul, big book of Hitler. Jesus, I'm doing things at AA meetings that just ain't right. And I hate walking blank. Why didn't somebody else get up and say this thing is right? How come it's always me? Well, it hurts to be disliked and scorned, to be called names.
Well, I was that way when I was drinking, too.
Today, I don't have some control of it.
And today, I have to see the silver lining in every cloud, because the same people that have called me all these horrible names are now doing the things that they saw me do.
We have a program of attraction. If you want what you got, you're willing to go to any length to get it. Here are the steps we took. But the alcoholic is divided. And nobody tells his dude. No goddamn judge. No divorce court. No employer.
I worked in the California State Lottery for 2 years. And my last 2 years, I had a new sales manager. A little short guy. He's a sweat. And he said to me one day, he said, "Well, why didn't you do what you did over there in Portland?" I said, "Because that's what I always do." I'm very respectful. And he said, "Well, I'm going to tell you something. You work for me. And you don't do that."
The next week I was out.
I thought that I was self-employed. Now, here I am, 30 years sober, working for the state of California, thinking I'm self-employed. So I have some growth. It's a continuing thing. Our program is based on continuing the spiritual growth that we come up with in these 12 steps, so I don't ever have to go back to feeling the way I felt about myself. That I don't have to go back and look at no little woman and she's leading me by the nose. And hopefully my health will be better. Alcoholics Anonymous has given me a new perspective. So then most of the time I feel pretty damn good about me. And if I don't feel pretty good about me, it doesn't last as long as it used to. There was a time in AA when I went into depression that lasted months, weeks. But then I read the story of Bill Nye. He went into a 10-year depression when he got sober. And he did all his best work during that time. He was a womanizer. He was a scallywag. He was an egomaniac. And yet there's a whole bunch of millions of people in this world are so wicked that that guy figured out to move one drunk box to another drunk sobriety. And that's the only place that people have been sober in such great numbers is Alcoholics Anonymous. To the point where we're down at the 11 o'clock, they got a bulletin on the board and it says, "Big book of Alcoholics Anonymous is the second selling book in the whole world." Wow. I'm reading a book in the whole world, and I'm ashamed to say I'm in number one. I was sitting with Frank, and Frank's with us for one day, and I think, you know, the guy who called me back and all, and I go in there, and we'd be sitting in the back and we're laughing at all the people from the recovery home walking by. And he looked at me and said, "You know, that's all right." Now, he's selling all the moonshine to keep them working. And I said, "Frank, I'm one of them. I've been sold for 4 to 5 years. What I'm trying to say with the story is, why, with all the experience that I have, am I interested in the opinion of non-alcoholics when it comes to alcoholism? Well, I am. Because I'm an image person. I want to look good. I want to sound good. I want to, oh God, worship me."
Absolutely insane. got sober with in this town, died drunk for 30 years, 32 years, 34 years, died drunk.
And Bill Wilson, the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, he was sober 37 years, and he laid on his deathbed, he died of another addiction, mind you. And for a whole month, he was on that bed, dying. And he was threatened to beat up the nurses if they didn't pray with rain. So if the book of Alcoholics Anonymous says that we have a daily reprieve from alcohol based on the maintenance of the 12 of us, if it says to be here, if the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous can be in that place for one of us, I'm just Paul. I'm just a drunk. And you give me one drink and 32 plus years to light up the window. And I don't go back to 1976. I start up like I never went off. And that was the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in the game. I'll tell you that. But I found out. Because I've let go of dreams. And every drunk dream, or how you love the word, but I tell you what, they let me know that my disease is alive and well, and all I need to do is to get a little Listerine out, a little NyQuil, a little Point Line in the Weight Watchers dinner, a little O'Doul's, or a little Rocket Fuel. It doesn't really matter where the alcohol comes from. I'm allergic to it. So when I'm with my honey, and she's having a little glass of wine, and she wants to do a little whoopee, then what does the difference where I get the wine? Well, you can't do that. I am responsible to have some backbone and say no. And why did I hate myself all my life that I was so ignorant? And today, I say what I mean and I mean what I say. And I like that. That's how the serenity has come from the calamity on that whip that was led around by his nose to the man I am tonight. I saw him.